praise God this morning. Thank you so much. God has given us another opportunity today to praise and worship Him. And let us go to Him in prayer. Father God, we thank you this morning for another day. We thank you this morning, Father, for another opportunity to give you praise and glory. Lord, we know we're not worthy, but my heart cries out in silent desperation for your presence. As David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And Father God, even though we fail you, even though our frailties are monumental, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. Father God, thank you for the temerity and strength of the Huttons and David, Father, for all that they do to put on awaken me and to bless us and to strengthen us, Father, during the week. And Lord, we just ask that you continue to strengthen and bless them and help us to continue this, that it may reach the masses and allow those that don't know you and know you but need inspiration and strength to continue to grow, Father, in your holy word. Father God, bind and rebuke Satan, for he is busy, but you have all power in heaven and earth in your hands. Father God, you can do any and everything but fail. And Father, we thank you right now. Thank you for praise and thank you for the ability to worship you. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for waking us this morning. And thank you, Lord, for the harvest. And thank you, Lord, for revival. And thank you, Lord, for your love and your care. And Father God, if it had not been for you, where would we be? And Father, we just want to worship you and we want to praise you like we've never done before. Bless the speaker today. Bless this magnificent ministry, Father. And Father God, as I speak with tears in my eyes, but joy in my heart, we give you praise. We give you glory, for you are God. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' holy and mighty name we pray. Thank you, Lord, and amen.
When you ask a man to come up to pray and he's got tears in his eyes, you know he's got a broken heart. And last night, as we finished our intercessory prayer, we had a lady, 81-year-old Angelique Dempsey, who came out to Shelby Farms Sunday to help us share the gospel. And she closed in prayer last night. And I've been on this call for about 113 weeks. And I had tears in my eyes when she got done praying for America last night, praying for the children. And, you know, this week, many churches around the city are having Vacation Bible School. I know there's about 3,000 kids over at Bellevue. They got about 750 volunteers from other churches helping out. And Greg Nelson shared a testimony last night. He said he had 21 kids in his class at Bellevue yesterday. And he asked how many of them had never had a possession of a Bible. And over one-third of the class of 21 did not have a Bible. And this is in Memphis, Tennessee. And you know, we take lightly that we're in the Bible Belt, and you know, we think everybody knows Jesus and everybody goes to church. Some of these kids have not even heard of one Bible story yet. So, folks, we need to be activated. We need to be engaged. And we've got an opportunity this weekend to be engaged. And we'll share a little bit more about this after the Pledge of Allegiance by Ray Bratcher. Ray?
As we pledge this morning, let's go to the pledge with a we and go with together. We've got freedom this morning. And we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Father, we pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ray. And I know Brother Frederick has to leave here. He's got a 7:20 radio appointment with KWAM. And last Thursday night, we had a gathering at the house here. The Huttons hosted a reception for Frederick. He's running for District 33, U.S. Tennessee Senate. He's also a pastor of Eureka True Vine Church. And I invited Todd Starnes to come over to do the introduction. And I met with Todd about 4:30. He said, I'm going to be a little bit late. He said, President Trump called, and he actually called himself and wanted to do a short interview. And so when Todd got there, he said, President Trump, I can only be on the phone 15 minutes. I got to get over to Huttons to introduce Fred Tappan. We got local elections here we got to take care of. So true story, though. We had a great rally down there at the Lander Center on Saturday. I thought I was in a camp meeting. I really did. I've never heard such clear, powerful testimonies. We had a lady that from the Middle East that had only been in America 2.5 years and shared about having an encounter with Jesus in a dream, how she came to faith in Jesus. And she said, it's time for us to repent. She gave the gospel. She gave an invitation. She says, as I sing Amazing Grace, you can repent and invite Jesus into your heart. They set a record attendance at the Lander Center last Saturday. They've never had that many people in there. I thought that Trump wasn't going to show up because he was supposed to be on the platform at 3:30. At 6 o'clock, I texted Todd Starnes. I said, Todd, he must be on the golf course. And he says, no, he's back here in a room praying with a group of us. And Trump came out about 6 o'clock and spoke for about an hour. There's still a ray of hope for our society, for our culture. And we've got a couple men here that are running for office. Frederick is one of them. Larry, would you come up here real quick? And then Coach Judge Cobb, will have each one of y'all just share briefly the district. You only got 2 minutes, where you represent, and maybe where you go to church, a little brief testimony. But we've got to give some time because we've got two other ministries we got to highlight.
Well, so no jokes. I can't tell any of my good jokes that you'll miss that. I'm sorry. Well, I'm running for Circuit Court Division 8, and I've actually done that before. I did that against the Army Bailey a few years ago, but that was more or less a contest to see. But I would encourage you to vote, and it's really not about me. I say that, and everybody says that. It really is not about me. I didn't wake up at 79 one morning and say, oh, heck, I forgot. I wanted to be a judge. I'm running for this office for judicial reform. Our judiciary is in an unholy mess, except everybody but Glenn Cobb. It's not Glenn. It's not the people. It's not the judges. It's the system that has eaten them up. I spoke yesterday morning at the Crescent Center to a group of men, and it was not a fundraiser at all. But thankfully, some afterwards got their checkbook out. Last time I was standing up here, I told you I had to raise $100,000 in a week. I'm about $95,000 short. I just didn't get around to making the calls I was supposed to make. So I'm just trusting the Lord. My assignment has been to tell your story. Tell your story. Everywhere you can do it, tell your story. And so I'd ask you, if you have any opportunities, Sunday school classes, picnics, anything, where I can tell my story about the judiciary and how it can be changed and how it is a crisis and it must be changed. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Larry. Amen. Thank you, Larry. And Larry has commercials or political ads on KWAM that you can hear a little bit more about of his story. Lynn, come up here, brother. This is Lynn Cobb. Lynn and I go back a long way. I don't know, probably 30 years or so. A long, long time, but I'm glad this man's running for office again, and I'm glad that you're in a place of authority in our city here. Lynn?
Well, it's a real blessing to be out here, and I appreciate David inviting me. He had said several times about coming, and finally I was able to come. I found that Tommy Vincent was going to be speaking, and Tommy Vincent was a real blessing to Kirby Woods Church. I'm not a member there, but I went there. He was the Elmer's glue that kept the congregation, that fed them, that nurtured them, that blessed them, and it was a real blessing to listen to him, and I wanted to come out here and listen to him today. As a matter of fact, when I came in, I patted him on the shoulder. I said, let me tell you something, this better be a good one. I said, I live in Midtown. I came 51 likes to get out here. So I'm sure it's going to be a good one. I've been the General Sessions judge in Division I for the last 25 years. I was appointed by the county commission, ran then in 1998, and I've run three successive campaigns. They're eight-year campaigns, and the Lord's put his hand and blessed me to where I was able to win every one of them. This is my fourth one. Let me tell you, this one has been one of the best ones. I'll tell you why. Southside High School had a big reunion here about 2.5 months ago. It's a predominantly black high school in Memphis, and they were all getting together. And I went out there, and I handed out my material. I got to a truck. There was a lady sitting in the truck. The door was open. She had her head down like this. She had a bottle of whiskey right there on the floorboard. She was going to make a drink. There were a lot of them out there drinking. And I said, look, can I give you a little brochure? And I handed this to her. And I said, this is about me. She said, yeah. Never looked up. Just kept looking down. I said, are you happy? She said, no. I said, do you want to be happy? Yeah. Happy depends on happenstance, and you're not having happy things happen around you. So if you don't have happiness, you sure don't have joy in your life, do you? Do you have any joy in your life? No, I don't. I said, would you like to have joy? I can tell you a way you can have joy. She said, I sure would. Well, I had a chance to witness to her, and she got saved. So it's been worth it. If this campaign ended today, it'd be worth every bit of it. So thank you for having me out. It's a real blessing, David, and I appreciate it.
Man, we need godly judges. Thank you, Lynn. In light of time, we're going to let Joy share at the end for the recruitment for Shelby Farms. Shiara, could you come up here real quick? We know that there's a lot of humanitarian opportunities all around the world. I mean, we have them here in Memphis. We have them West Tennessee. They're all over. But Shiara is from Sri Lanka. And she has a burden on her heart, and we'll allow her to share briefly about this need, and you've got a brochure on your table.
Thank you, David, and thank you. It's a real honor to stand before you. Most of you know me. I've been with Awaken Memphis for a long time. I'm originally from Sri Lanka, but the Lord brought me to this United States to go to Oral Roberts to study evangelism. And to really return to my country, but I took a little detour and I stayed on. But I see today that there is a purpose, you know, God, nothing is wasted in God's economy. I did end up with an accounting degree, which God used to bring about a ministry that we started here in Memphis at Brit Hadasha to reach the poor in Sri Lanka. So my heart is for the poor, the widow, and the orphan. Our organization here in Memphis is called Isaiah 613 International, and it gave birth to Beauty from Ashes, which is a business that trades with poor vendors in Sri Lanka. We've been doing this since 2014, and it was really birthed out of a heap of ashes in my country in 2004 when we were swept away by the tsunami. 35,000 people perished in one day. So ever since, you know, God has broken my heart for my people, and I've been reaching through this ministry. We have a partner in Sri Lanka that is a very trustworthy organization. And one of the things that really concerned me when I started this ministry was trustworthiness in the kingdom. You know, I knew that what God was calling me to raise money in America to fund the work in Sri Lanka. But I knew the corruption in Sri Lanka. Because in 2004, when the tsunami happened, the world gave billions of dollars towards the people that were affected. But I'm here to tell you that money did not make it to the hands of the poor. It went into lining the pockets of evil and corrupt men in government. And that is the situation that has brought my country to the place it is today. And let me tell you, at the start of April, we didn't see this coming. So this shaking of Sri Lanka has happened so quickly. And we're just the first nation. And there's a string of nations following in the same steps as Sri Lanka. So what is happening in Sri Lanka today is that we've run out of foreign currency. We cannot trade. We do not have dollars to buy the essentials that we need. And a rice-growing country is dependent on imports to feed their people. So it's mismanagement at the highest level. It's corruption at the highest level. And who is suffering? Innocent people. And this organization is called Footprints Children's Homes. And it was founded by a woman who found children on the streets digging through a garbage. And when she reached out to minister to them, but the very next day she found one of the little girls was raped at home. So she's been working with street children, rescuing them, bringing them in to a positive environment, giving them the best education, raising them up, and making them responsible, older generation that gives back to the ministry. So on July 17th, I want to invite you all to please mark your calendars and come and support this initiative. Pastor Jake Clonch of Eagle Heights and Pastor Ken Tony of Dwelling Place International and my own congregation, my elder is behind there, John Matthew. They are behind me in this to raise awareness, to raise funds, to send to this organization to buy essentials before they run out, to feed not only the children, but this is a ministry that is pouring into the to the community to witness for Jesus by giving them food packets that they cannot even afford to buy right now. So please mark your calendars.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. Sure. Thank you for joining us. And we need to at the very least, pray for what that's unfolding. And that day is very significant. I don't know, Shiara, if you know what day that was in 2004. It was December the 26th. And the reason I remember that date, it was the day after Christmas. It was the same day that I got a call from Sarah White that Reggie White had passed away, the same day that tsunami hit Sri Lanka, and it sort of got covered up. And I called my former roommate, Calvin Clark, who was the other defensive end with the Memphis Showboats. He was a black defensive, All-American defensive end from Purdue. He was down at Denton Bible Church. I called him. I said, Reggie's gone. And Calvin said, don't joke with me. I said, I just got a call from Sarah. I said, Reggie died. And he didn't believe me. And about an hour later, I said, just listen to the news. And that sort of got covered up with that tsunami with the 35,000. I had a friend of mine, Sri Lanka swimmer that was out in the water, Olympic swimmer that was saved because of his training when that tsunami hit. True story. And, you know, we just got to be in the right position at the right time. Nothing guarantees anything. Elvis only lived to be 42. Reggie White only lived to be 42. We can go out at any time. We've got to redeem the time. With that, we're going to introduce Tommy Vincent. Tommy, I knew when he was at Colonial Hills in South Haven 45 years ago at least, and would meet him on Thursday mornings at Industrial Sales and knew some of the members of his church. And Tommy has a unique ministry of going and helping churches when they're in transition. He did that for a couple years down here at Germantown Baptist Church. He did this for a couple years over here at Kirby Woods Baptist Church. He's in this position right now with a church down in Mississippi. And I don't know of a finer Bible teacher than Tommy Vincent that ministers to where you're at and something that you can walk away from here this morning that'll be applicable for your life. So with that, Paul Berkus, would you come up here and pray before Tommy speaks real quick? Paul is going to be out at Shelby Farms on Saturday, but he's going to be doing a triathlon about 6:30 that morning before he does a transition and maybe comes over and helps us. But we do need some help. We've got 10,000 bottles of water to unload at 8 o'clock Friday evening. Henry's flying in from Colorado to help out Saturday. He's going to help us unload the water. If you've got any free time this weekend, we could use you. Joy's going to issue that challenge. But Paul and Bruce, I can't say enough about what they do to help prepare the minister of the gospel on these Tuesday mornings and what you get to hear on KWAM on Sunday at 10. And there's a metal mailbox back there. And I think Helen has the receipts from last time, but we need to compensate these men that, at least for gas money driving across town to come and lead worship. They don't have to come here, get up at 4:30 and come and lead worship. They could be doing a lot of different things, and we're really honored to have men like Bruce Carroll and Paul to lead us in worship. Paul?
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord. Lord, you put on my mind over and over again this morning, and even before this morning, the words to breathe. Lord, it is the very air that we breathe, Lord, and your words are what sustain us. Lord, even our bodies waste away without your breath, without your spirit, without your Holy Spirit, and without the words keeping us alive. Lord, we just want to thank you, and we want to praise you, and we want to give you all the glory. But when we say that we give you all the glory, Lord, we truly want to lay down everything and give you all the glory. There is nothing else that sustains us. Lord, we live a life without meaning if we do not have the Holy Spirit in our lives. Lord, without the gospel, without the good news, Lord, our life is meaningless. And Lord, today we ask that you would speak to us. And every word, Lord, that we hear, every word that comes into our heart, Lord, we pray that it would cut through, that it would reach the parts of our heart, Lord, that need a change. And so, Lord, we ask you to be here with us. Anoint the speaker, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Paul.
Well, thank you for the privilege to be here again today. It's been a real boost to my own spiritual walk with the Lord. Since coming here, I look forward to Tuesdays and the worship time and hearing the word. I'm perpetually trying to work myself out of a job as an interim pastor, and God has been so gracious to do that. But what a high privilege it is. Please, if you think about it, pray for Ingomar Baptist Church. You may not know that name, but that's where I am now. They're looking for a pastor. The text for today is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 45, if you want to be looking it up, and we'll be looking at verses 17 through 28. On January the 28th, 1986, that's a little over 36 years ago, my appendix almost exploded. According to Dr. James Austin, they were hot appendix. He was afraid to touch them for fear that they would explode. But that's not the only thing that exploded that day. If you remember, January the 28th, 1986, was the day that the NASA shuttle orbiter, 73 seconds after takeoff, broke into pieces. All seven crew members, consisting of five astronauts and two payload specialists, were sent into eternity. One of those was Christy McAuliffe, who would have been the first teacher to go into space. That was a sad day for our nation. I remember all the newscasts and the sadness that pervaded things. You see, whenever a mission fails, it leaves in its wake devastation, hurt, and grief. And in our text, Joseph, we're lifting a section out of his biography, is preparing his brothers not to fail. I like to title sermons in a positive way. I wanted to say this text gives us the tragedy of a failed mission, but I like to turn it around and say the ingredients of a successful mission, because both of them are here. And listen to the mission, and listen to Joseph's challenge. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Say to your brothers, do this, load your animals and depart, and go to the land of Canaan." Here's the mission. "Bring your father and your households, and come to me. I will give you the best of the land of Egypt, and you will eat the fat of the land. Now, you are commanded, do this. Take carts. I like old King Jim's wagons there. I've been a country boy. That brings things to my mind. He says, take wagons, carts, out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and your wives, and bring your father and come. And do not be concerned about your goods, for the best of all the land of Egypt is yours. Then the sons of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them carts according to the command of Pharaoh, and he gave them provisions for the journey. He gave to all of them, to each man, changes of garment, but to Benjamin, you'll remember his Joseph's brother, real brother, he gave him 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of garments. And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, see that you do not become troubled along the way. I love the way this is New King James. I love the way the old King James puts it. Listen to what verse 24 says in King James. See that you fall not out by the way. What's he saying? He's giving them a commission. He's giving them a mission to accomplish. And he's telling them, I don't want you to fail at this mission. And he says, so I don't want you to fall out along the way. I don't want you to not finish what I've commissioned you to do. Now, what did that mean? Not fall out, by the way. Well, he could have meant don't get fatigued, don't get tired, and just drop out of the race. You know, Paul said to the church, be not weary in well-doing. I've been doing this 56 years and pastoring many of those years, and I have often gotten tired in the work, but I'm not tired of the work. I remember when pastoring so many times, sometimes I just want to do laundry so I could put something in, wash it, get it out, fold it, put it up, and my job is done. I discovered that as a pastor, your work is never done. There's another visit to make, another prayer to make, another sermon to prepare. There's always something else you need to do. Now, Joseph is saying to these disciples, don't get tired and quit. Maybe he's talking about fear. Don't fall out by the way. Don't get afraid. Paul said to Timothy that God's not given us the spirit of fear. And Isaiah said, fear thou not, for I am with you. But you know, kind of like Demas, you remember Demas had an impeccable track record. Then Paul says in Timothy 4, Demas forsook me. That's the word Jesus used when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's the same word. Another translates it, Paul said, Demas left me in the lurch, which means Demas left me when I needed him the most. Why did Demas leave? He was afraid. Pilate was turning, what's his name at Rome? Nero. Nero was turning up the heat. Persecution was getting hot. And I believe Demas decided to take the line of least resistance. To stay with Paul was dangerous. Fear. Maybe it was fatigue or fear, but I don't think so. You know what I think it was? Joseph knew these boys far too well. He had heard them fuss and fight all of his life. He had been raised in an atmosphere of family feuds. His daddy had a famous feud with his brother, Esau and Jacob. So it was in that milieu, it was in that environment. And so because Joseph knew them and he knew their propensity to fuss and fight and get distracted from the mission, he said, don't fall out by the way. Stay together. I think there's a word there for us, don't you? I think there's a word for the church today. Now, he gives them the mission, and he tells them why they should not fall out. There's some great reasons here, not the least of which is, he said, don't fall out because you're brothers. You're brothers. You're brothers. And you can't afford to fall out because you are brothers. Family feuds are awful, aren't they? Prince Andrew is discovering that, sometimes it's tough to be in a royal family. Family feud. You're brothers. Don't do something that would bring reproach upon your brothers. But not only are you brothers, you're brothers of the king. Now, the text calls him governor. He's second in charge of Egypt. In my book, where I come from, that's kingly. He's in charge. He said, not only are you brothers, but you're brothers of the one that's in charge. And you can't afford to fall out by the way because of your brother, the king, the governor. He said, not only are you brothers and brothers of the king, but you're brothers of the king who's given you every resource you need to get the mission done. Did you notice all that Pharaoh provided? He gave wagon loads. He gave them food and clothing, and transportation, protection. Every resource they needed to get the mission done, he gave them. They can't afford to fall out, by the way, because they're brothers. They're brothers of the king. They're brothers of the king who's provided every resource that they need. Not only that, but because he's given them a message that absolutely must be delivered. What's that message? Joseph is alive. Amen? Joseph, whom you've been thinking for 22 years, is dead. I mean, here's this old man. Can you imagine walking into that part of the tent day after day? Hasn't changed a thing. He still remembers Joseph, his favored son. And he's wondering, now 22 years down the road, I wonder if he were still alive, what would he look like? What would he sound like? I can't think of a better message for that old man to hear than Joseph is alive. But that's not all. And Joseph has forgiven us. Hallelujah. And that simply means that they've got to get honest with their dad. They've got to become transparent and say, Dad, we've been lying to you for 22 years. We told you he was killed by an animal. He wasn't killed by an animal. We sold him into slavery. We sold him down to Egypt. So they had to get honest before they could give the message. Dad, we've been lying to you. We told you Joseph was dead. He's not dead. He's alive. And Dad, you won't believe this. You can't believe this. But when he found out that we were his brothers that sold him into slavery, we expected the worst. We expected to be marched out and our heads severed from our bodies immediately. But Dad, he didn't do that. You know what he did? He forgave us. Joseph is alive. And Joseph has forgiven us. And that, that's not even the best. Well, I guess it is the best part. But Dad, there's more to it. And Dad, he's prepared a place for us. And you can never guess where it is. It's not on the wrong side of the tracks. It's not in the poor part of town. It's in Goshen. It's in the best part of Egypt. And Dad, we've brought the wagons. We brought everything we need. I'm going to tell you, that is a message that had to be delivered. Right? It just had to be. Well, now we've come to the so what section of the sermon. I tell young preachers, whenever you're preparing a sermon, think of it this way. Answer these questions. What? So what? And now what? So it's important to understand the so what section. What difference does that make to us 4,000 years later? It's nice to hear this nice story about Joseph being put back with his brothers and they bring in their dad down to Egypt. But what does it mean to us? Well, I think it means a lot. I think there's so many lessons to be learned. Number one, just like Joseph gave a mission to his brothers, you and I have been given a mission. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples. That's our mission. You and I have been given an assignment. So like Joseph, we are going to be held accountable. And by the way, God wants us to be successful, just like Joseph wanted his brothers to be successful. But not only is there similarity in the fact that we've been given a mission, there's similarity in the fact that we have been given resources. Everything we need. I was discipled at a distance by Major Ian Thomas. I love Major Thomas. But I remember him saying over and over again, the righteousness which God requires is the righteousness which God provides. God never asks us to do anything he doesn't empower us to do. So God has given us a mission and God has given us resources. A number of years ago, I did a wedding. And for doing that wedding, you know, you put a lot of time into a wedding, counseling and then a rehearsal, the whole deal. But I was paid that wedding. I didn't have to be paid, but I was paid. You know what I got for that wedding? I got a paperback book. I was so happy. You know I was. It was called Born Again. Well, problem was I already had the book. So I got that book and I put it in my shelf, you know, a little bit disappointed, you know, just a paperback book. 10 years later, I'm sitting in my office at First Baptist Church, Winter Park, Florida, getting ready to preach on You Must Be Born Again. The thought hit me, you know, I haven't looked at that book Born Again in a long time. Maybe I might get a good illustration out of it. So I reached up and got that paperback book and began to peruse through it. And lo and behold, there was something in the middle of that book I had failed to see. It was a money order for $100. I almost had a little charismatic revival right there in my study. I never spoken in tongues, but I got pretty close that day. I was thrilled. You know what the first thing I did? I called the post office. I said, is this thing still good? They said, yes, it is. Well, guess what the next thing I did was? Straight there, cash that thing. Now, you know, I've laughed a lot about that since then, but I've also learned what a picture that was of my life for so long. Like a paperback book on the shelf, useless. The first few years of my life in ministry, I was so performance oriented. I'd always gotten my kudos by performing on the athletic field and getting the pat on the back, attaboy, attaboy. But I'm going to tell you something. If you take that attitude into ministry, you're destined for disappointment. There's not always the attaboys. And you don't always hit a three-pointer. I want you to know it wasn't until God introduced me to the truth of Ephesians 5:18 that says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. God taught me what it means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. That's what it means. It's not a quantitative term. You know, we think of the Holy Spirit as a liquid. You know, I'm filled up to here or here. No, it's a qualitative term. It doesn't refer to how much of the Spirit you have. It refers to how much of you the Spirit has. We've been given the Spirit. We've been given a commission. We've been given resources. And we've been given a message. Our message is better than the other message. Our message is not Joseph is alive. Our message is Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. I love what Dr. Rogers used to say. If Jesus is alive, nothing else matters. That's the main thing. That's the main thing. Buddha's dead. Abraham's dead. Muhammad's dead. But Jesus is alive. That's our message. That message needs to be heard in Memphis and Shelby County, Fayette County, around this world, Shelby Farms, Ingomar, Mississippi. Jesus is alive. Jesus. And I'll tell you something else. Jesus has forgiven us. Who his own sin, our own self, bore our sin in his body on the tree. That's the message. Jesus is alive. Jesus has forgiven us. And Jesus has prepared a place for us. He said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. That where I am, there you may be also. My mother-in-law died not long ago. Miss Sarah, a wonderful, godly lady. We have a little autistic grandson. And so we took our little grandson, autistic grandson, down to see his great-grandmother. And he had heard us talking about she's going to heaven. She's about ready to die and go to heaven. And he was just about 4 years old. And when he got there, he climbed up on the bed with his great-grandmother. And this is what he said. Grandma, have a great trip. Out of the mouth of babes. Right? Have a great trip. The reason we can have a great trip is because we have a great God who sent us his son to die on the cross for us. Well, that's why we can't afford to fall out, by the way. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you, Brother Tommy. And Tommy's going to be bringing the message next week, too. Is that permissible? Great. Super. Folks, I heard a story like that, similar, where a father was had given a Bible to his daughter before she went to college, and she didn't want the Bible. She wanted a car. And she went to college for 4 years, upset because her father didn't give her a car. And he had a title. He had all the information she needed to get that car inside that Bible had she opened it. She went to school for 4 years with a car and a title, but she never opened that Bible, and she missed transportation for 4 years at college. True story. And unsearchable riches in the Word of God. Every day we open that scripture, there's an unsearchable riches that we miss. I miss because I don't look deep enough. I don't dig deep enough. Thank you, brother. Joy, come up here, please. This is just a challenge. Last Sunday, as we were setting up at Shelby Farms, it was Father's Day, and I understand, you know, everybody had dinners and had things going on, but we still had a good group of people that showed up. And lo and behold, I looked behind me, and not more than 30 yards away, there was a table laid out, tablecloth, umbrellas, free water. They were giving away Qurans. The Muslims were at Shelby Farms. They're doing this all over the country, because I talked to Val and Barrett, who's up in Dearborn, that was here a couple months ago. And folks, if we don't get out and evangelize, we're going to be really, really scraping the ground trying to get the gospel out. You know, you got to wake up every morning in triathlon. What's the competition doing today as far as training? Are they swimming? Are they biking? Are they running? We need to wake up every day as Christians and say, what's the competition doing today? Because Arabic is the number third language in the state of Tennessee, believe it or not. There's a huge, huge, huge mosque and neighborhood being built down on Church Road in DeSoto County. There's a huge facility here. And it's gradually happening, and we're not even aware of what's going on. Just come out to Shelby Farms one Saturday or Sunday. A third of the people you see out there are Muslims. Burqas. You'll be shocked. Shocked of the hundreds. I'm not talking just dozens. I'm talking about hundreds every single weekend. And this weekend, we have a golden opportunity. The park's been paid for. We've got 10,000 bottles of water. We got a stage. We got music. We have 20 food trucks. I've got 5,000 DVDs here given to us by Campus Crusade for Christ, the Jesus DVD to distribute. American Bible Society has given us 12 cases of Bibles, Arabic, Spanish, English, to hand out Saturday. I shared this story yesterday morning at a Gideon's meeting, and they said, what do you need? I said, I need Bibles. There's people in Memphis that don't have a Bible. Young kids have never had a story told to them about Jesus. And we got 3,200 churches in Shelby County, 12,500 nonprofits registered in Shelby County. And this city is in desperate need of the gospel. We don't have to go to Sri Lanka. We don't have to go to India. We don't have to go to some foreign place. A mission field is a distance traveled to reach the next person with the gospel. That may be next door. Joy, she's here to recruit volunteers. We need help. We got security's going to be out there. Shelby County Sheriff's Department's going to be out there. We just need sowers. You can hand out a tract. You can be a deaf mute and hand out a tract. It doesn't take a whole lot of just suiting up and showing up. 80% of doing a triathlon is suiting up and showing up. You know, when you get to the starting line, you're going to finish. When I do an Ironman race, the preparation's already been done. It's just a matter of suiting up, showing up, and mentally staying on top of it. It's 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Saturday. Come out there and sow some seed. It's very, very simple. Joy?
Thank you, David, and thank you so much for just this ministry and the opportunity to come out and to speak to you guys, because one of the things that I'm learning is as God's calling me to serve Him in different ways is just how He works one person at a time. And, you know, that one person that you touch, they touch another person. And it's a ripple effect. And when you begin to see those pieces come together, it's really humbling. And Jesus is alive. He's alive and active. I saw spiritual warfare, though, played out at Shelby Farms with that table. It's real. And it's going to be out there probably this Saturday. And so we need to get out there. We need to spread the word. And we need to show that we love one another. And we love one another with the love of Jesus. So we need your help. I've got a sign-up sheet. I need your name and your email address and your phone number. And I'll send you information about what time to come and where to go and where to park. One of the things that I learned Sunday being out there and leaving, I don't know if you ran into that, David, is the parking situation. In fact, we are going to have that parking there on the side, and we got to have parking attendants, because there's one way in, and if you go all the way in and take the loop, then you're going to get stuck and you're going to be head-to-head traffic all trying to go into one direction. So we've got to have people directing traffic, keeping individuals from going up and making that loop and blocking traffic, having them go right into the parking area. We've got three shuttles that'll take them from the parking area into the area where we're going to have the event at the visitor center. So parking attendants are needed. I will ask you to pray for, and if you know Sheriff Jason Bartlett, to tell him to call me, because when I talked to him 3 weeks ago, he was all over it. We've got security. We're going to have air patrol. We're going to have medics. And now I can't get in touch with him. So I know he's been really busy. So just pray that he calls me back. I'm going to go out there, actually, and look for him this afternoon. But we need assistance. We've got golf carts now, praise the Lord, with the help of you guys for sure. So that we can have security going around to help Shelby Farms, and we're also going to have some paid security that are going to be armed. And unfortunately, we have to do that just because of everything that's going on. So if you could help with security handing out water. They ordered yesterday, I don't know how many gallons or tons, however you measure ice, but a lot of ice. It's going to be hot. We're going to get some misting areas as well, and some additional tents and covering so that people can have shade. So don't worry about it. We'll keep you cool. We'll keep you hydrated. We just need you to come out. Thanks.
What's contact points?
What's that?
Come out to just the visitor center. We're going to have a KWAM tent there. We'll get you. We'll have a visitors or a volunteer registration area and everything like that. As far as security. You go to a foreign country, there, you know, when you leave America, there's no rules, there's no laws, anything can happen. I've been to prisons in Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Cuba, and you go in, they said, we don't have a team that's going to come in and get you if something happens. You know, you go to parts of Memphis doing ministry, you don't know what's going to happen. I promise you, at Shelby Farms, there's going to be security, it's going to be safe. It's not going to be a situation where you're going to have to be concerned about your safety. It's going to be probably one of the easiest opportunities to share the gospel, because people have been praying. There's going to be a prayer tent. If you can't get out and share the gospel, there's a tent there just to pray. Just come sit in a tent. There'll be fans there. It's an opportunity. The gospel, it's simple. It's so simple that we're missing this golden opportunity right here in our backyard. And if you know, you want to complain about everything that's happening in Memphis, this is an opportunity to do something. If one person comes to Christ, we had people pray to receive Christ Sunday afternoon out there. Let's do what we can to destroy the works of the adversary through the Great Commission. Tommy, thank you for that message. Great, great, great word. Rozelle, would you come up here and close us in prayer, brother? Rozelle's a great, great man of God. He is a prison evangelist. And, you know, a lot of times these prison evangelists, they have to drive an hour and 90 minutes to get to somewhere to preach. And then they have an hour and a half to come back. It's sort of a ministry that you don't get a lot of recognition, but he's making a big, big difference in the correctional facilities around the Mid-South. He's been doing this for like 28 years. He's a faithful man of God. And Rozelle's been out there on Sunday, and he's a man of prayer. And this man has a heart for the lost. And I just want to encourage you, recruit others. Just don't think about yourself coming. Bring somebody else out. If I was inviting you to go on a deep sea fishing trip this weekend down at the Gulf, a lot of people would sign up to get a blue marlin or a mackerel or a grouper. Folks, we got an opportunity to do something very significant this weekend just by suiting up and showing up. Rozelle? Amen.
Praise God this morning for whom all blessings flow. Father, we come to just thank you. Thank you for your word that has gone forth. Lord, we thank you for ears that heard and that will respond to your words this morning. The Great Commission, Lord, to go out in the highways and byways and compel men, women, boys, and girls come to know the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for a privileged opportunity even to be called, Lord, to such a calling. Lord, we praise you and thank you this morning for everyone that's in this room. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do on Saturday. We thank you, Father, for what's happening on Sunday evening. But Father, we thank you for the greatest gift of all, none other than the precious, precious Holy Spirit. We bless you, Father, and thank you for your word. Thank you for Brother Tommy, Lord, yielding his heart and speaking from his heart unto us as you instructed him so beautifully this morning, Father. Thank you once again, for it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Hallelujah, amen, amen, and amen. Praise God.